Let's turn in the Bibles this morning, if you would, to Jeremiah, the prophet. Jeremiah chapter number 4 this morning, if you would. And thank you for your attendance today. Thank you for your faithfulness to the house of the Lord. And I want to say this one, I'm so glad that he allowed us to come together once again, amen, to worship and just love on him and hear from heaven. And I know that we are a needy people this morning. I know that I am, and I know that most churches are full of people that are needy, need to hear from heaven, amen, need to hear from the Lord. And I want to share just some things that the Lord shared with me, amen. I was in my study early this morning and asking the Lord for the day and what he'd had for us, and I just began to read my Bible, and this began to jump off the page at me, so I just tried to put a few thoughts together to help us. At Jeremiah chapter number 4 this morning, we'll begin reading verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 1, the scripture says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. Thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. Declare you in Judah, and publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together, and say, assemble yourselves, and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil upon the north and a great destruction." Verse 7, the Bible says, "The lion is come out from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, O Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches unto the soul. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem," watch this now, verse 14. "O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee?" I'll stop reading there, verse number 14. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, the privilege to be in your house today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come to you, Lord, in prayer this morning. And ask, Lord, that you bless our day, bless our time together. Thank you already, Father, for being with us and meeting with us. And, Lord, for the songs we're able to sing, how precious our loving Savior is. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for the thought of the next step may be on the street of gold. Next hand we shake, Father, may be the hand of our Savior. What a wonderful thought that is. And I pray, God, Lord, you bless the preaching of your word this morning. I pray that you'd open our hearts of understanding. Lord, hold back all the hindrances. Lord, I do pray you put a hedge about this place this morning. Help us, Lord, I pray, Lord, to hear from heaven. Speak to our hearts, Lord, I pray, Lord, as we study the precious word of God. Have your will and way. All that's said and all that's done, we'll thank you and we'll praise you, Lord, for all that's done. In Jesus' loving name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. As most of us have certainly, I'm sure, have studied our Bible, we know that Jeremiah was a prophet with a message, and he ran with a message, and that message was a message, of course, of repentance. We know Jeremiah as being the weeping prophet. And listen, there's a lot of messages all throughout the book of Jeremiah that he preached to the children of Israel. And the main message, of course, is that of repentance. And we think, study at Jeremiah, there's a lot of meat in Jeremiah as we study that. And we know that Jeremiah was trying to get a message to the children of Israel from the Lord that they would return from their wicked ways and change from the way they were living. The Lord would, as the Bible says there, they would not be removed. And that simply means they would not be removed from the land that the Lord had gave them. But if they didn't repent of that, God was going to remove them from that land and put them into captivity. Now we know, as we study the Bible, that took place. They did not repent. They didn't turn from their wickedness. And God had sent them into captivity into the land of Babylon. We understand that. We've read our Bibles. We know that. But this is a time before that took place. And Jeremiah has been commissioned of the Lord in chapter number 1. He's been given the commission, if you would, or the charge from the Lord to preach the gospel, to preach repentance unto the people. In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 6 or verse number 5. The Bible says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah, being commissioned to preach the message to the nations there. In verse 6, he said, then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So the Lord gave the Jeremiah the commission, gave him the charge to go to preach to Israel and to the sinners and the unbelievers, amen, there in the land. Now we can use that this morning and apply that to us and to our day. And God is still sending prophets and preachers, amen. We don't have prophets in our day. We have preachers, pastors. But the Lord is still calling men to preach and still sending forth a message. And that message is a message of repentance. Amen. Repent of their wicked ways. Repent of the things they're doing and turn toward God. If they don't do that, judgment is coming. Jeremiah's preaching a message to Israel. And the message is, if you'll turn from your wicked ways, if you'll turn from idolatry, if you'll turn toward God and away from the things you're doing that's not pleasing to God, if you'll turn from that, judgment will bypass you. Amen. You won't have to go through judgment, and God won't send His judgment to you if you'll just obey and do what He says in His Word. As we study that, we find that Israel did not obey. They did not listen to the messages from the preacher. They didn't listen to the Word of God. And the Bible says, of course, as we study on, that judgment came. Now, as we look at that, verse number 1, verse number 2, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. If thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight. Some of the abominations that's mentioned in the scripture was that they served other gods. They was into idolatry. They was into all kinds of other things that wasn't well pleasing to the Lord. God's message to His backslidden people was for them to return to Him. The thought is turning back to their God in repentance. If Judah would put away their sin, especially the sin of idolatry, they would be removed. They would not be removed from their land. And we find in verse number 2, and thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him shall they glory. The thought is a continuation of the preceding verse, that if Judah would return and swear that the Lord liveth in truth and in righteousness, repentance is more than just trusting or just turning from sin. It is turning back to God. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to do it. And God is saying, if you'll turn and if you'll do it from your heart, then you can say that the Lord liveth in truth and in justice and in judgment and in righteousness. And so He's trying to encourage them to turn from their wickedness. Judah had been engaging in pagan idolatry. They had sought unto their false gods of the world. God therefore appealed to them and tried to get them to swear their allegiance to Him and Him only. This included proclaiming that Jehovah was the living God in justice and in truth and in righteousness. God also told them that the day was coming when Gentile nations would be blessed in Jehovah God and they would glory in Him. There was a day coming. The word translated as nations is a common Hebrew word for Gentiles. The immediate thought is for Judah to turn back to their God. When they did so, the Gentile nations around the world would be influenced also to turn to God. The focus, if you would, was on Israel and on Judah. If they continued in their sin and continued to wander away from their God, God was going to send judgment on them. But if they would turn from that and serve God, the other nations around that was watching them, watching their behavior, knowing they were God's chosen people, they would be a witness to them, they'd be a blessing to them, and the other nations could see that their God was real and that they would turn to Him also. Amen. We find as we study this, let me get to my message this morning. That's kind of a little introduction. Let me get to my message. The message is simply this. God had given them word. God had sent them word how they could prevent judgment. Amen? How they could prevent judgment. The sad thing about that is they did not do what was required of them to prevent judgment, and therefore God sent them into captivity, which was judgment. All right? Now, I want to apply that to ourselves this morning. If we are saved by the grace of God, and we know for sure that that's settled, we have that, there's no doubt about that, we know that we're saved, but yet sin enters into our life. If we begin to have idols before our God, if we begin to put things before God, that's an idol. Amen? Now, listen, I know this is getting close to Christmas time, and a lot of people are all about Satan's cause. I mean, Santa Claus. And a lot of people are putting, that's an idol. Amen? That's the world's idol. And some people get upset at me at Christmas time because we talk about that, but that's okay. Listen, it's God and Jesus is the reason for the season. It has nothing to do with that, amen? And that's the world's idols. And America has put a lot of emphasis on the world's idol, amen? Especially at Christmas time and other times of the year, they have those worldly idols that they put before God. I think the worst one is at Christmas time. It mimics the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is absolute anti-Christ and is full force. Amen. The devil. It's Satan. Amen. That takes all the emphasis away from the Lord Jesus Christ and puts it on Santa Claus. Now, that's the world's idol. I'm not going to preach on that this morning. That's not my fault. But the idea is for us as believers, if we put anything before God, that is an idol. Amen. That's an idol worship. And listen, if we put that before God, and so we're not to do that. And if that happens in our life, there is a message in the Scripture that teaches God's children that if you have sin in your life, you've given in to those idols, and you started wandering from God and doing those things that's not pleasing and well-pleasing in the sight of the Lord, if you go that direction, there is such a thing as forgiveness. And there is such a thing as forsaking that. And listen, repenting of that and turning back to God. All right? If we sin in our life as a believer, preacher, I'm saved, I know that I'm saved, I got that settled, don't have to worry about that. That's wonderful. But you still sin? Everybody does. The Bible says all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Amen? Everybody sins in some way or somehow by our attitudes, by our actions. But then there's the idolatry. There's the other sins that people commit. There's drunkenness. There's all kinds of immorality, things like that. When those things happen, people are to repent and turn from that. If they do, then judgment will come upon them. If they do not, God will send judgment. Amen? God sends judgment now. I've had preacher after preacher say in messages that I've heard in churches I've been in, they'd say, well, we'll worry about that at the judgment seat. No, you won't. You'll deal with that now. Amen? God deals with us now as His children. And I've talked about that, preached that before. God doesn't wait till the judgment day to deal with us on our sin. He judges us now for our sin. I wonder why so many people are sick. The book of James says those that took of the Lord's Supper and they took of it unworthily, amen, or book of Corinthians, they took of it unworthily, they was sin in their life and they didn't repent of that and they partook of the Lord's Supper and many of the Bible says were sick and others slept. You know what that is? That's judgment, amen? So God sends judgment. And so we study that and we understand it. Now how to prevent that judgment, that's where I want to get to. I know that people make mistakes and I'm not saying that, you know, everybody has to be perfect. I don't believe in sinless perfection. I don't believe in that. Hey, listen, but I do believe that there's Scripture to back it up. When we do sin and we get away from God, that we repent of that, turn from it, and a true turning to God is that we don't think about those things anymore. Our mindset's different and we want to please the Lord more than anything else. Here's what the Lord gave them. This is what he gave to the children of Israel, gave to Judah, how to prevent judgment. I believe we can apply it to ourselves today. First of all, in verse number 3, we learn to cultivate. That's a big word, but relate that to farming. Cultivate. For the Lord saith, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. The message is compared to farming. Fallow ground is that which is untilled or unplowed, not sown, on which nothing grows but weeds and thorns and briars. Fallow ground has not been tilled yet. You can go out there and throw all the seeds you want to on it. Most likely it's not going to grow. Amen. It's got to be buried in the ground for it to ever die and germinate and all that before it can come up. And so fallow ground is untilled, unplowed, or not sown. And the only thing that grows is weeds and thorns and briars. The symbol is here to our hearts. Our hearts become hard and not responsive to God's word. Now let me just jump on this little bandwagon real quickly and I'll get off of it. Many times we're saved by the grace of God. We got that, so we know we're saved, but yet our heart can still become hard to God's word. Amen. We can get cold on God. We can get complacent. And there's a thing about salvation. You have to work out your own salvation, amen, but salvation is work. We have to keep our hearts from being hard. We have to keep tilling it, keep working it, amen. Keep confessing, make sure everything's right before God. Continue on our knees before the Lord and stay in this book, stay in His word and be obedient to His word. That keeps the ground worked up, amen. So the seed of the word of God, when it's preached, when it's planted, it can take root and it can grow in us, amen. So we have to cultivate that ground and tear it up and plant some stuff every now and then, replant some stuff. Spiritually, Judah was overgrown with sin and idolatry. God called upon them to plow such sin under and replant the true crops of righteousness, obedience, faithfulness, and godliness. If they would do that, if they would plow the ground, it would make their heart tender toward God's word. Amen? Here's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, Paul's writing to Timothy. Paul says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The biggest thing that we need to understand this morning that is that God does forgive sin, amen? In order to keep sin out of our life and keep the weeds out of our life and the drought out of our life is to break up that fallow ground, amen? Keep it working. Keep that ground. You can plant something and it can grow this year and look beautiful. But if you leave that thing alone and never do anything else with it, you never dig around it, you never fluff up the ground, you never water it, never do anything, that thing will eventually die out. I know there's some plants that my wife has got. Listen, I don't think that thing could ever die. Amen? You put it out in the sun and let it get scorched. You can put it in the house or put it in the freezer and freeze it. I don't care what you do to it. That sucker will never die. That's just some of them plants that she's got is like that. I don't know what they're made out of, but they'll never die. And I've seen her take them and just pull the roots, slam off of it, and put it in a jar, and that thing will take root again and grow back. Now, listen, I think that's a little unusual, but most plants are not like that. If you don't work up that dirt, if you don't keep it moist around it, if you don't keep the ground broke up, hey, listen, it'll die. And the same thing happens in our heart. If we don't keep our hearts tender to the Word of God, if we don't stay close to God and keep the sin out of our life, hey, listen, we'll become hard-hearted and God's Word will find no place when we hear it. Find no place in our heart for. So first of all, to prevent judgment coming upon us, we're to cultivate, amen, and break up our fallow ground. Allow God's word to have a place in our heart. Secondly of all, we look in verse number 4, we find the second step, it's to circumcise. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Let my fear come forth like a fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Throughout the Bible, circumcision was a symbol of obedience to God. Amen. Amen. Circumcision was a symbol of being obedient to God. Amen. Being set apart for God or set apart to God. Uncircumcision was a symbol of Gentile ungodliness. In calling Judah to circumcise their hearts to the Lord, God called upon his people to turn their hearts back to him and make their hearts tender before him. If they refused, warning was made of judgment. The symbol here is to have a holy heart. Now the Bible says in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Having a holy faith. Amen. Having a holy heart to circumcise. Clean out all that mess that's around it. Amen. All the fat that's around it. Amen. Around your heart. Clean it up and get the sin out. Get the ungodliness out and clean that up. Amen. To circumcise. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." We understand that word conversation means behavior, that we be holy people, that we clean up our act, amen, and we be holy. If there's sin, confess it, get right, get back on track. Three of the hardest things in the Christian life is staying focused and staying on track, amen, and so we need to stay on track and make sure we keep the sin out and circumcise it, clean it out, get rid of it, cut it away, and be right with God. Be holy so others may see. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" There's many of people in our day that say that they're saved, say that they love the Lord, and they go to church occasionally. And listen, some people may go once a month, maybe go once a year. I know people that I work with say that they're saved, say they love the Lord, and they never go to church. There's a problem with that, amen? And most of the time, their life is a mess. If they are truly saved, if they're truly God's people, their life is a mess. It's problem after problem after problem after problem. God does that to get their attention. Amen. To get them to see that their heart is not right. Their heart is hard. They have not repented of those sins. And we have to understand, if we repent of that and cleanse our heart and circumcise our heart, God will bless us and we become a blessing to others, as I preached on Thursday night. First step in preventing judgment is cultivate. Break up the fallow ground of our hearts. Circumcise our hearts. That means be set aside and set apart to God in your heart. Then thirdly of all, we find cleanse. Look with me in verse number 14. "O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved." We find some cleansing. This simply means that they had to stop sinning. That's as plain and simple as it gets. Stop sinning. Stop it. Forsake their sin and clean up their lives. Now I know this morning that we're few in number, and I'm not pointing my finger at anybody. This is preventive maintenance. Amen. You want to keep judgment off your life. These are some things to do. Cultivate your heart. Keep that thing tender. Keep it pure before God. Keep it right before God. Cultivate that. Circumcise the things that come into your life and into your heart. Cut that out. Get rid of it. Amen. And keep your heart clean and washed and pure with the Word of God. And God will bless us and make us a blessing. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." David sinned and covered it up for over a year between 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 2 Samuel chapter number 12. He covered that thing up for over a year. And he said in his testimony in Psalms 32 that he was like a drought. He was drying up spiritually. His health was failing him. Judgment had come on David because of his sin. We're to cleanse ourselves from those things. Jeremiah chapter number 1. If you look over there real quickly, I'm almost finished. Just hang in there. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 16. "I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burnt incense unto other gods and worship the works of their own hands." There's a lot of folks in our day worshiping the works of their own hands. Amen. Yeah. Patting themselves on the back. "Look how good they are. Look at me. How great I am." And God says, "You cleanse that mess from you. Forsake that. That's a sin to lift yourself up before God. Amen. Thinking you're better than everybody else or better than God. Listen, that's a sin. We're to forsake those things and turn from that and not do that. Cleanse our heart." Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 2, verse 13, the Bible says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the foundation of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. They've forsaken me, and they have not accepted, and they have not received my word. So we have to make sure that our heart's clean and our heart's tender to the word of God. All Israel had to do to prevent judgment was repent and turn back to God. That's all it would take. It's just that simple. All a person has to do to prevent judgment on them as an unbeliever is to repent toward God. Amen. Turn from their wicked, sinful ways and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, he that believeth in him is not condemned. Amen. Go to shout a little while right there. Amen. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those that are unbelievers, hey, listen, they can repent of their sin, repent toward God, and ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior, and they can prevent judgment. Judgment's coming. Amen? Judgment's coming. All a person has to do to prevent judgment on them as a believer is repent of their sin, forsake it, confess it, and God will have mercy. Amen? My message primarily this morning is for us to understand that we have work to do. It's not just to come to church and sit in the pew. It's not just to show up every once in a while and slip something in the offering plate. There's a job. Amen. There's a work. There's a lot to be done as a born-again believer, and we have to cultivate our hearts. We have to circumcise our hearts, and we have to cleanse our hearts so they'll stay tender to the precious Word of God. And when God speaks to our heart and God says something through the preaching or through the singing, that if God speaks to our heart, just listen to Him, obey Him. If there's sin in our life, we know what it is. We don't have to have somebody to come and put their finger on us and tell us what it is. We already know. We know what that sin is. And God says, if you'll forsake that and turn from that, I'll have mercy upon you. But if you don't do that, God will send judgment. Amen? God will send it to us, whatever the case may be. David, whenever he sinned with Bathsheba, there was a sword, the Bible says, that was never removed from David's house. The thing that David did, God forgave David, but there was also the result of that sin. Now we have to understand tonight, or this morning, that whenever we do sin, hey listen, when we do sin, there's always a result of sin. God will forgive, God will have mercy, but there's always that result of sin that you'll have to deal with. Amen. Now, prayerfully, none of us get into anything that deep and get into something we're going to regret later. But I know people right now that are say that they're saved and say they love the Lord, but they got into sin. And listen, they didn't repent of it, and God sent judgment. And they're living their life. They've realized that they needed to change some things, and they did. But they're living their life as a result of that sin. Some are riding mopeds because of the result of sin. Some are having to walk from here to there because of the result of sin. Amen. They lost their license, lost their ability to drive because they was in sin. They got caught. Amen? And they have to live with that result. God forgive them if they'll turn from it. God forgive the drunkard if he'll turn to God. God will forgive him. But there's still a result of that. God will forgive those that's immoral and do things that's ungodly. God will forgive that, but there's still a result of those sins. How to prevent judgment? Keep ourselves right before God. Amen? Keep our hearts cultivated. How do I do that, preacher? Stay in the Word. Amen? Stay in the book. Read His Word every day. Pray. And let Him speak to your heart. When you read it, don't just read it to be reading it. Read it with your heart in tune with Him. That He can speak to you, amen, through the Scriptures. You'll be amazed. If you take your Bible and begin to read it, don't just read to read. If you'll read it and say, Lord, please help me. Show me something in this Word. And just keep reading it. Don't read a chapter and a chapter and a chapter and a chapter just to read it. Don't do that. Just read just a few verses and go back and read it again. And pray. Say, God, would you show me something in these and do it again. Now, don't go to the book of Ezra chapter number 2 begin to read the genealogies and say, God, show me something. You're going to be there a long time. Amen. Use your noggin. Amen. Go to the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs or something like that and begin to read. Go to Timothy. Anything like that. Just go to the Bible and say, God, show me. And begin to read and let God show you something. Book of Psalms is a good way to start practicing that. You know what that'll do? That'll cultivate your heart. It'll circumcise it, amen, and it'll cleanse it. How to prevent judgment. Hope it's a help to you this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord.